Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast with Brendan Lowe, episode number 18. Here we go, here we go, here we go.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, welcome back everyone to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. My name is Brendan Lowe and I am your host. And I'm super excited right now because I am sitting in my comfy office chair. Usually I'm sitting at my piano stool, which is located right in front of my keyboard so I can give you guys demonstrations. But today, you're just going to hear me talk for 30 minutes to an hour. Lucky you, right? But I'm going to be going over some really good stuff that I think will really benefit you when it comes time to preparing for gigs. And what you should be expecting, what to watch out for, and everything that will benefit you in preparation for any gigs you may have or any sort of performances, anything like that. But this is just very pertinent information that I believe you should always get before gigs, and that way you'll be setting yourself up for success. We are connected with the website, jazzpianoschool.com, and you can go there and sign up to become a free member. No obligations of any kind. All you got to do is create a username and password for yourself, and you're all set to go. Now, when you create this free membership, you'll have access to our community. You'll be a part of the website, and I answer questions on there. You'll get a whole slew of instructional videos, which is me explaining concepts on jazz piano. So you can go in there and watch those free lesson videos. There's four different topics in there that I teach on, which I believe are the strongest and most important topics for a pianist to learn on jazz piano. And those are technique, theory, repertoire, which deals with applying technique and theory to pieces, and then improvisation, which is the most fun for everyone usually. So you can watch those lesson videos. There's a lot of other goodies in the website with the free membership, a lot of transcriptions you get access to the forum in which I can help you answer questions. If you have any questions, feel free to leave them there, and I will definitely respond and do that. I check it every day. And as well as notated music, any notated music that I talk about, like modes, scales, that's all. I always post that on there. All the podcast episodes, as far as the show notes, are on there as well. Excuse me if I stop a little bit. My allergies are terrible right now in Sacramento because the wind has been blowing and the pollen is going everywhere, so I apologize. But if you guys are looking for the music to any of the podcast episodes that I talk about or any of the topics, you can find those in the show notes. And if you go to www.jazzpianoschool.com/JPS podcast/ and then the episode and number, you can find the show notes to that. And again, if you just go to the website, that's a little confusing. I might have to change that in the future. But if you go to the website, there's a clear tab that says podcast up at the top of the website, and you can always find the information to the podcast there. So let me dive into this podcast. And I think it's really going to be helpful for a lot of people out there, especially kind of young players. Maybe you're in school, or you're just starting out with gigs, or you just, you know, you're kind of winging it when you get hired for gigs. And preparing for gigs is something you should always strive for. You should always strive for the best and be as prepared as possible, because people will appreciate that. It will show that you care about the music. It will show that you care about other people's music. And in turn, you'll get hired for more gigs and you'll be improving and you'll be successful. So the first thing I want to talk about is... Actually, let me create the scenario. So let's say you've just gotten hired for a gig. You have no idea what it is. Or not hired, you get a phone call, let's say. So someone calls you up, hey, Brendan, I want to hire you for this gig. Okay, great. Now, a lot of the times, I know it seems a little silly, but you would just hang up the phone right there. Okay, great, you got a gig, where is it? You know, let me give you an example. So someone might say, oh, it's at Bella Brew, this restaurant, Saturday, May 24th, 7 o'clock. Okay, great, I'll see you there. And then that's it. And then, you know, as the weeks go by, you're like, wait, what are we playing? What should I wear? What time do I show up? What time are we playing from? How do I get there? How much am I being paid? You know, and all these questions start to come up, and you realize that you have no idea what you're walking into. Who am I playing with? Am I playing solo pieces? Is there a band? Unfortunately, most band leaders, and this is a good tip for band leaders too, is that they don't give the musicians that they're hiring enough information. And for all you band members or leaders out there listening, I strongly recommend giving as much information as possible, and then anything you do not give, you can allow the musician to ask questions. But for the musicians right now, this podcast is going to be about what questions to ask. So you've just gotten that phone call. Now, where do you start? Okay, let's say you don't get much information. What is the most important information that you need to know about this gig? And I'm going to go through all the steps in order right now so that you can be the most prepared possible and have the most success on this gig, which can lead to other gigs, and just show your professionalism within the jazz scene in whatever city you are in. Number one, time. Okay, a lot of times people will say 7 o'clock, the gig is at 7 o'clock. You know, now what does that mean exactly? Does that mean you start playing at 7? Does that mean you're supposed to show up at 7? Does that mean you show up at 7 but you start playing at 7:30? So when the band leader says the gig's at 7, you definitely need to get more details about the time, okay? Now, there's a certain phrase we use on the jazz scene, which is called downbeat, and that signifies the exact time that the band, and in this case you being hired for the gig, is going to start playing. So if you get information like downbeat is at 7, arrive at 6. That's great information there. And you know a leader has been directing a band for a while when they give you this information. You can always tell the very, you know, top professional band leaders when they're giving you this information, because they're not leaving any room for error. They're telling you when to arrive and when you're going to start playing. And everything else in the middle is up to you to get set up and ready. And even some band leaders will go as far as to say, arrive here, set up here, and downbeat at 7. So you arrive at 6. I'm getting my times confused now. You arrive at 6, set up at 6:15 to 6:45, right? And then you want to clear the band stage. And then downbeat is at 7. So these are all the questions that you need to ask. You want to find out what time to arrive, because sometimes, a lot of times, musicians have a different setup for their equipment, right? Pianists, if there's a piano there and we're playing a gig that's just standards, you know, technically, I really don't need to be there until 10 minutes to, right? There's nothing I need to do except show up with my music ready to play at 7 o'clock. Excuse me. So when I show up, I'm all ready to go. You know, I don't need to set up any equipment, but the band leaders like to know that you're there. They like to feel comfortable. So, you know, in case anything happens, they don't want you to be late at all. So always ask the band leader what time they want you to arrive at. And they'll tell you, sometimes they'll say, oh, you know, you can arrive whenever you want to. It's up to you. Just leave yourself enough time. But they'll respect that you're asking them what time that they want you to arrive, and then appreciate, you know, that you're thinking about those concerns they may have. So once you get that, ask what time the downbeat is. And another good thing to know is ask when the breaks are, right? You want to kind of be prepared for when you're taking set breaks. And that way you can kind of gauge the length of time you'll be playing. I've shown up to gigs and then been playing for 2 hours before our first break. And I definitely wasn't prepared for that because I hadn't eaten anything, or I hadn't had any water or got water. So I was just struggling on the bandstand, right? So when you know all this information, you can prepare. If you're going to be playing for, you know, 15 minutes, then you're not going to really need to take much preparation into account before you start playing. But if you're playing for 2 hours and then you get your break, it's probably best to eat, right, to get some fluids in you, and just get yourself all set up for that 2 hour span of playing. So those are kind of all the times. Obviously, you want to know too, the last time point is exactly when you're ending. So what time is the gig over with, right? So you start at downbeats at 7, the gig is over at 9, right? Because, I mean, otherwise you're just kind of wondering and, you know, your mind may drift. You always want to be focused. You want to know when the last tune is. Sometimes you won't know when the last tune is. The band leaders won't say it, but you'll be ending. So you always want to be focused and have that feeling of the end, you know, and leave the audience with a good taste. So know when the end point is and when that last song is going to be. So moving right along here, that's a lot of information about time. Now, I bet you would have never thought, oh, I need to know all this information about time. Now, you don't need to know it, but if you want to be the best, then it's a good thing to acquire it and get as much information as possible. I was about to say knowledge is power, but I started combining power with my last sentence. So when you have all this knowledge, you're going to be, you know, set up for success and playing to your best of your abilities. All right. So moving to number two, payment, right? For some reason, I don't know why, band leaders don't say how much you're going to get paid. And I would think that's the first thing you should tell someone. And usually, I mean, because you're playing for money, you know, it's just like you want to know if you're playing a 4-hour gig for $50, for $20, for $300, you know. If someone says I'm playing for 5 hours, I'm going to be expecting to be paid a lot more than if I'm playing for an hour or 2 hours. So I don't know, for whatever reason, sometimes I'll get texts, hey, can you do this gig 7 o'clock at this restaurant? Well, maybe, but how much does it pay? Like, I just want to know how much I'm working for. So it could be for free or whatever, but always ask what you're going to be compensated, you know, so that way you can kind of make your decision if you've had other gigs saved in the past. You know, possibly for around that date, you could turn down a gig or you can take another one. Or if you're waiting on somebody, you know, there's just so many different situations that could arise. Like, you don't want to commit immediately to a gig. A lot of younger players are so amped to get gigs that, like, they hear the thought of gig or they get a text and boom, yeah, I can go do it. Yeah, of course I can do this. And then maybe like, you know, a day later, hey, can you do this gig? It's only for an hour and it pays $300. Oh, shoot. I got to go play for 4 hours for free. So always ask how much you're going to get paid. And it's just funny because a lot of people don't ask. And I think it's just because of the thought of money. You know, don't be scared of money. It's just, this is what you're doing for a living. Some of you may not, but even if you get into a gig situation, you want to know what you're being compensated for. Just like going into a workplace, you know, they're going to tell you your salary and everything like that. It's the same with music. So the band leader won't think it's disrespectful or anything. They'll just tell you straight up, this is how much you're getting paid. And then another thing is tips. If you guys are looking, sometimes places will get tips. That's up to the band leader. So if they want to split the tips with you, then they might decide to do that. But usually the band leader will keep the tips. If they're nice enough to split the tips with the band, then that's just a bonus on top. But if you want to know that too, I don't usually ask that, just to be honest with you, because I'm just, you know, I feel like I'm happy to take the work that they're giving me. So, and if they do end up splitting tips with us, then I just thank them and, you know, I tell them I greatly appreciate it. So, all right, number three, the address. Where is the gig at? I have a really funny story right now. So I just played a gig at the Wells Fargo Pavilion here in Sacramento last weekend. And there had been an email correspondence thread going out about the gig, and the band leader or the booker was sending these emails, and on the email list of the company that had hired us was an address. So it was a Sports Leisure Travels for Travel Vacations, basically promoting vacations. And we were the band when they were promoting their vacations. We were playing and giving background music and, you know, playing in the in-between sets and as they came in and things like that. But the address at the very bottom said Sports Leisure, you know, one of the towns here around the Sacramento area. It said, Rancho Cordova. So I saw that the first time and I said, oh, okay, you know, that's the address of their company. So immediately you got to watch yourself, because immediately I started assuming that the gig was there. And then I saw the address again, right? And so subliminally it got put into my mind that I was playing the gig at this address that was at the bottom of the email. Like, how could I not assume that it wasn't there? There was no address. That's another thing. There was no address said in the email thread. It was just talking about the gig, what time to arrive, where to unload. You know, there wasn't a specific address that was stated in the email thread. So this whole time I'm going along, finally on the day of the gig, literally I'm about to leave, right? There's like, I got an hour. I'm planning to show up an hour early. And this is, guys, very important tip. Listen to me closely. This is why you leave enough time, because of mistakes like this. I was planning to show up an hour early, and I was like, you know what? I looked at the address again to put it into my maps. So I was like, I better just double check this with the other band member. So I texted him, and he was like, no, man, it's at the Wells Fargo Pavilion downtown. And I was like, holy crap. I'm so glad I confirmed this with you, right? So I would have been fired, basically. I would have been fired from the gig. And so even, you know, at my level, people are going through these things. So it does happen. You know, I've never missed a gig or, gone to a completely different place. Thank goodness, knock on wood. But just goes to show that I've been gigging and stuff for years, right? 10 plus years, and these little things still come up. So you always want to ask, even if you think the address was stated, you want to confirm the address. Always, always, always confirm the address, confirm the spot. And again, sometimes like in your maps, don't just rely on the maps in your phone and your GPS. You might put in an address and it'll be some other completely different place, right? It'll bring you to, I've seen that before. You know, I've hired people for gigs and they're like, oh man, I'm so sorry. I put in the address in my phone and it brought me to this completely other place. And I was like, well, you know, I wrote the address specifically out in the email. So always confirm the address. Always get as much information about where it is, landmarks. Like the worst thing that could happen is that you do not go to the right address and you miss the gig. And then you're definitely just fired, right? You're not getting any more gigs from whoever hired you in that situation. So number three, address, always confirm the address. Okay. That can make or break you getting more gigs in the future for sure. The next thing is about attire. Okay. So professionalism with attire, what you're going to be wearing. And this is a really funny thing just because I see with jazz, there's so many different styles. There's so many different outfits. What do I wear? What don't I wear? What's acceptable? Because jazz isn't like classical. It's like hip and cool, you know. Well, I could wear jeans and like and get away with this. So the best thing to do if you have your own style or you have your own perception of what is okay, you always, again, anything that's going to be questionable, you want to ask the band leader. So if they do not tell you, if they don't specify specifics, if they don't give you specifics, right, then you want to confirm with them, just like all the other points. This is why I'm giving you guys this podcast, to go over all these different points on what to confirm with them. So ask what you should wear. People will say suits, right, suit with a tie, black shirt, excuse me, whatever it may be. I'm playing a gig this weekend, and the band leader is great. She gives us so much info, and she says attire, jeans, and a white t-shirt. Great, cool. But even that, right, I'm going to confirm with her, hey, can I wear a jacket over top of my white shirt, or do you just want the white shirt? Now, a lot of people wouldn't even think to go that far and ask. They would just throw on the jacket. And then when you get to the gig, the band leader has this sour, you know, like scowl on their face. They're not being fun, all because of this jacket you're wearing. And a lot of times the band leaders don't have enough like chutzpah, you know, to use a Jewish phrase there, to tell you, right? They just don't want to like rub feathers or anything. So it just sours them for the rest of the night. So you need to ask and confirm what the band leader wants you to wear. And if it's okay to do these types, I mean, obviously if you're going to, you know, you don't need to ask the brand of the clothes or anything like that, but just anything that might be out of the ordinary. If you're going to wear shoes, right, sneakers, stuff like that, just any questionable items, it's always better to confirm with them rather than to do what you want and then not be hired for future gigs. I mean, you can do what you want, be my guest, but I'm just telling you right now that if you enjoy money and you want to make more gigs, then that is definitely not the way to go, because you will not be hired for more gigs and you won't know why. And I hear this so much. It's like, man, I'm not getting hired for gigs. I just don't know why. And it's like, well, I could tell you why. It's because of A, B, and C. And then a lot of band leaders don't tell you why you're not being hired for gigs, and you just won't be hired. So all the stuff that I'm telling you right now is usually the reasons like you're not getting hired again. So ask about the attire. It's very important. Some band leaders will say to look nice, you know, oh, just look nice. Now, in that case, you always want to overdress, right? I always overdress. I'll usually wear, depending upon the venue, I'll usually wear a suit and tie. And again, I'm going to go into the venue in a second. But I'll usually wear a suit and tie, or a suit definitely with a shirt, maybe just like a shirt without a tie. I'm always overdressing. I never want to be caught underdressed, because if you're overdressed, you can always dress down, right? You can take your tie off. You'll still look good if you're in a suit. You can take your jacket off. You'll still look good with shirt and slacks. But if you're underdressed, there's no way to up your presentation. So especially when they tell you to look nice, definitely confirm what looking nice means to that person, because it's going to mean a lot different things to different people. So I've seen people say, oh, look nice. Someone showed up in a Hawaiian shirt, white pants, and sandals. Like, that to them, that was looking nice. You know, that was comfortable and clean and looking nice, but it wasn't exactly what the band leader was looking for. So always confirm with them. And you can, you know, I've heard people be like, well, you didn't tell me what to wear. You just said look nice. You know, but that's still on you. It's your responsibility as a professional musician. And this is how you get to the top level. This is how you become a professional musician, by going the next step. You want to ask those questions. You want to seek out as much knowledge as possible. And trust me, you're not annoying the band leader. I love it when people are asking me these things, because I know they care. It's showing me that they care and they're looking to make progress, and they're dedicated to my music and when I'm hiring them and being a part of the band. So always, number four is attire. Confirm what you should be wearing to the detail, to very detailed specifics, okay? Number five, the venue. This is a quick one. But if they don't tell you the venue, like some people will be like, oh, a gig at this address, be there at 7 o'clock. Cool. Well, what is it? Is it a bar? Is it a wedding? Is it a restaurant? Is it a little coffee shop? Is it a private party? I mean, with music, it could just be so many different things. Is it a concert? Is it a performance? Are people going to be listening? Are they not going to be listening? You need to know mentally what to be prepared for. I mean, like, if you were going to go play a sports game, right, and someone was like, oh, yeah, show up for this football game, and then it happened to be the Super Bowl, right, mentally you're not prepared for that at all. And it's the same thing with music. You need to prepare yourself for the different types of venues that you're going to be playing at. So if you're playing a performance in a concert hall and they say, oh, it's a gig here, just show up, and then you get there, you're not prepared at all mentally to have the audience listening or be up on stage above the audience, you know, so you're spotlighted. Same thing with a coffee shop. You may be spending hours and hours and hours preparing for this gig that's only going to have 5 or 6 people there, and you could have been out practicing, hustling for more gigs, just, you know, spending your time more efficiently. So ask what the venue is, right? See if it's going to be a bar, a club, a restaurant. Just, you want to know, get the feeling of the place. And actually, I always go online if I don't know the place I'm playing at, and I research it and just see what the vibe is there, you know, see if I can get a feeling for the restaurant and the kind of audience that we're going to be, you know, playing for. So number five is the venue. You want to figure out the venue. Number six, you want to figure out the music you're going to be playing. All right. And so I've been talking for like 23 minutes now, and you're like, wow, how could you be asking all these questions? When it goes by fast, right? If I get called for a gig, it's like boom, boom, boom. You know, what's the time? I ask all these questions. What's the attire? How much am I being paid? What's the venue like? And when you get to a certain point where it's like you put all the pieces together and it forms this picture, because I played so many gigs that I just know what it's going to be like. But again, for the people just starting out, or even if you haven't thought about this and you want to take your playing to the next level, this is the information. You want to be meticulous like this about getting the information about the gig, because it will prepare you, okay? Preparation plus organization equals success. I'll say that again, and I can't be more honest about this, because it works. Preparation plus organization equals success. A great mentor said that to me one time, and it's stuck with me ever since. So number six, find out the music you're playing. So are you playing standards, right? Are you going to be playing out of the real book? Are you going to be playing Latin music, salsa? What kind of music is it? You need to know. Are you just going to be calling standards out of the real book? A lot of the gigs will be that, right? you'll be calling standards out of the real book. You know, there'll never be another you, Days of Wine and Roses, Beautiful Love, All of Me, just classic standards. Other times it will be, you know, there may be charts you don't know, and the band leader is always assume things, right? Band leaders always assume things that you know, members may know certain tunes or you've played certain tunes before and you may not have. And so you never want to get in a situation where someone's assumed something of you and you're not at that level. So you always want to take it upon yourself to make sure that both parties are on the same page, you and the band leader. So if it's standards, this is why you want to find out what music you're playing. If it's standards and you're all set with all the jazz standards, you know, ask them what standards. Standards have a very different perception amongst people not really used to playing standards. You know, it was funny at the last gig too. This is another example about the Wells Fargo Pavilion. The guy who had hired us for the company was like, he told us, well, I don't want you to play jazz. This is exactly what he said, okay? It was just hilarious. He goes, I don't want you to play jazz. I want you to play Sinatra-ish type songs. And we were all just looking at each other like, are you serious right now? You don't want us to play jazz, but you want us to play Sinatra type songs. So it's just pretty, the spectrum of what people consider jazz and jazz standards is very wide, right? So if I'm in, even for band leaders too, guys, like there's so many people deem themselves musicians these days that there could be a band leader putting a band together and they're hiring you. And when they say jazz standards, it could mean just like, who knows? You know, it could mean just bassy tunes. Some people might consider just bassy jazz. Some people might consider just Sinatra jazz. You know, some people might consider all the pieces out of all the tunes out of the real book, none of the tunes out of the real book, some tunes out of one real book or the other. So it's really important for you to find out exactly what music you're going to be playing. And especially like if there's music like funk tunes, I've heard a lot of people say, oh yeah, you know, it's just that funk tune, it's just in C. Or yeah, it's just a vamp from D minor to A7. Like, oh, okay, cool. I go and listen to it, and it turns out there's like a whole bridge section on there, and the harmonies are all over the place. I'm just like, what? This isn't. And there's like, obviously, there's like an 8-bar vamp or a 4-bar vamp that's D to A, but the band leader didn't know enough to tell me that there's a whole bridge on there that I needed to learn. So you always want to do the legwork yourself, research the music as much as possible. But again, on the better side. Sorry, guys, I'm losing my voice right now. On the better side of everything, most of the time it will be just pieces out of the real book. And these days, on our phones and iPads, we can get access to a full real book with the iPhone app iRealBook Pro. And with that, we have a catalog list of all the chords, right, for the tune. There's no melodies in there because of copyright issues, but we have access to all the chords. So if you guys don't know a certain piece, if you bring that with you, you can pull it up and you'll be ready to go, right? You just have those chords in front of you and you're all set. So if you're just calling tunes out of the real book, then that's definitely a great option. So find out what the music's about and definitely do your research into the tunes that you're playing and what types of pieces may be called, okay? All right, on to number 7. All right, number 7 is the atmosphere, right? And so this kind of, I guess this kind of can be tied into the venue, but you want to find out what the atmosphere is. And I'm glad I just had this gig because I'm referring back to it a lot. But this gig was for a travel agency, and it was very specific. We had outlined times we were playing. The atmosphere was celebratory, right? Taking requests, very kind of old timer music because there was a lot of elderly people there or older people, I'd say like 50s and above because it was for vacations, like retirement vacations. So you want to find out the atmosphere of the party or what's going to be going on. Is it uplifting? Is it more mellow? Is it sad? And from this, it's going to give you an idea of what you should prepare for. Like, if you need more ballads, is it going to be more dinnery type of music? Is it for like a live bar? Are you being showcased? Again, this kind of ties into the venue and the scene of the gig. But ask the band leader what the atmosphere is like. What, you know, what are you going to be preparing for the request? So that's a pretty easy one. Number eight is equipment, okay? And this just kills me when I see people show up and they're like, oh, I don't have XYZ. I don't have this cord. I don't have this pedal. I forgot this drumstick, or I forgot this, you know, whatever. Like, really? Like, come on. You know, you need to be prepared with your equipment. Get all your equipment together. Have a bag. Have extension cords. Have two extension cords. Have two cords for everything you need. You never want to be caught in a situation where you're asking for something or you can't do something because you don't have a certain type of equipment, right? You always want to be prepared for those situations. So, you know, everyone that has hired me, you know, has just been like, Brendan, it's so easy to work with you. You're always there early. You always have everything ready to go. Your equipment works. It looks good. You know, and it's just, it's such an ease. If you're asking the band leader and bothering them for equipment, or asking the homeowner or the person who's doing whatever at the dinner party, hey, do you have an extension cord I could borrow? I mean, normally they're more than willing to get you one, but it's just, it's a hassle. It creates anxiety within the band leader. It creates anxiety with you. You can't focus on the music. You can't get set up properly. So always do an equipment check before you leave for the gig. Make sure you have everything ready. Make sure everything's working. It looks good. You know, it's funny. Like, I used to have this, I have a Yamaha keyboard right now that I use for gigs, and it's light and it has a little stand that attaches into the top. And a while ago, it's plastic. So it would fall off during the middle of gigs. Like, if I was playing with a singer who has big book charts, you know, that I was reading through their books, they have like hundreds of pages of charts in there. And so it was like a phone book, you know, and there's no way my little music stand could hold up. So I'd be playing along, and if I was really getting into a solo, the whole stand would fall out of my keyboard. And it was just the now that I think about it, it was just the most embarrassing thing ever. And obviously I would keep playing, like I would stop playing, but to the audience and the singer, they're just like, oh my God, like what the heck just happened? And the whole thing would just tip over and fall. My keyboard wouldn't fall, but the stand would fall out of the keyboard with the book. And so that was just very amateur hour-esque, and I wish that upon no one. So make sure all your equipment's working and everything goes smoothly, and you're all set up to go, because you don't want anything like that happening. It's just very disruptive. It's distracting. Amp stuff. I see a lot of amp stuff happen. Make sure your amp works. Make sure your cords, your connections are on the cords, are all good. Any other instruments listening to the podcast, make sure you have your mutes ready. Make sure your horns all lubed up. Make sure your valves are working. You got the right mouthpieces. You know, I've just seen so many things like, oh, my mouthpiece doesn't work. Oh, this, I got to get my horn fixed. Like, they can't play something properly. It just gets to be like a whole slew of problems. So equipment. Definitely make sure your equipment works. And that's the easiest thing to do. You know, just make sure it works. Like, you don't have to do anything else besides make sure it works. Okay. Now, the last thing, okay, probably the most important thing, ask if they're going to have free food and drinks. That should be the first question you ask. I'm just kidding, but I'm not. you can ask if they're going to have free food and drinks. I always ask that because sometimes you need to know whether you want to bring dinner, if you're going to eat there, if you get comped. You know, sometimes a place will comp you a full dinner and two drinks. That's awesome. Like, that way you don't, you know, and a lot of times before I would ask this question, I would actually buy dinners, you know, and then be like, oh, here's your free comp deal or dinner. And I'd be like, what? I just spent $15. Like, and I'd be like, oh, I'd ask them, can I apply it to the meal I just ate? They're like, no, sorry. You know, well, I'll just hold on to it and give it to someone else. And so I lose out on free dinners and drinks. So I'm half joking, but half serious at the same time. it's good to find out if there's going to be any comps. And you can do it in a respectful way to the band leader, like not seem like a stingy musician that's trying to, you know, gravel like over the smallest things, but just be like, hey, yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, if there's any food or drinks included with the band, with the payments or the bands, because I'm going to be needing dinner and stuff like that. So I just want to prepare ahead of time. And when they hear you say that, they'll be, you know, they'll appreciate it because, you know, that you're just trying to look forward and think ahead into what should be, you know, what you should prepare for. So let me just review them one more time for you guys. It's a pretty big list, and I went thoroughly into detail on each and every one, but again, it goes by fast, right? When you're talking to a band leader, whether on the phone, through email, it's a quick thing, okay? Number one, time. Number two, payment. How much are you going to get paid? And again, for the time one, guys, make sure you find out all the times, not just one time that they may tell you. You want to find out when to be there, when you're going to start, the breaks, and when the gig ends, okay? You basically have four times to be aware of. Number three is address. Find out and confirm the specific address of the gig and landmarks around it. Is it the Sports and Leisure in Sacramento downtown, or is it the Sports and Leisure in Rancho Cordova? Okay, make sure you don't go to the wrong address. Number four is attire. What should you wear? Okay, what to wear. Make sure you confirm on that. Anything you may change that they ask, make sure you confirm. Okay, number five is the venue. Okay, the venue you're going to be playing. Is it a club, bar, restaurant, coffee shop, saloon, you know, ranch, whatever it may be. Number six, music. Find out the music that you're going to be playing. All right. Is it salsa, Latin, swing, all jazz? What jazz standards? Real book jazz standards, Sinatra jazz standards, Basie, Ellington. You know, what is your definition of jazz standards? Okay. Number seven is the atmosphere. What type of atmosphere? Is it mellow? Is it for a party, a celebration, birthday, retirement home? You know, what's the atmosphere going to be like? Are they going to be wanting requests? Is it, solo performance? You know, are you playing with different people? Find out the atmosphere. Okay. Number eight is equipment. Easy enough. And number nine, the best part, is the food and drinks. Find out what type of food and drinks that may be included in your gig, so you can prepare to either have a nice meal or you can prepare to bring your top ramen to the gig and eat it there. I'm just kidding. So that's it, guys. That's how to prepare for gigs, the information that you're going to need in order to be successful at playing gigs and just deliver a complete successful presentation to the band leaders. And so you can, on the flip side, if you are a band leader, you know how to prepare your musicians that you're hiring to be, there on time and just have all the important information that they're going to need to make your band successful. Okay. So as always, guys, thank you so much. I'd really appreciate it if you listened to me blab for this amount of time. I hope you enjoyed it. And podcast reviews are always awesome. And not even a review necessarily, but I always like to ask if you've listened to this episode or if you stumbled upon it and you want to leave me a 5-star rating, I will absolutely love you. Those 5-star ratings are just amazing, and they help the podcast gain exposure and move up in the ranks. Currently, I'm at 40 right now, 40 5-star ratings. My goal, my first landmark goal, is to get to 100, and then eventually more after that. But as the Jazz Piano School podcast moves up in the rankings, it gets seen and heard by more people, and then in turn, we're actually reaching more people and educating more people on this great music and on jazz piano. So if you can leave a quick 5-star rating, that would be awesome. You don't even need to write anything. You simply click a mouse. Literally, you click the mouse button once and that is it. So it should be there. If you've listened on your phone, it's literally right there in the homepage of the podcast. Same thing if you're on your iPad. If you're on the computer, it's right there as well. And you can do it on any mobile device and help me out at jazzpianoschool.com. I'll be continuing to deliver these podcasts to you, so I'd really appreciate it. So that's it, guys. As always, happy practicing and have a great day.